the salt of the earth? Wherefore, if salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. Look at the church today. It's a joke. The church is a joke before men today. It's a flat-out joke. They don't have enough power in the church today to blow the nose off a gnat. Why? Because they're disobedient, they're rebellious, they're stubborn, they're anarchic. Somebody say the word for me. Thank you. Hear that word. My teeth don't want to work today. They're all these things instead of obedient. What did the centurion say to Jesus? When Jesus said, you know, he told Jesus about his sick servant. And Jesus said, well, let's go to your house. He said, you don't need to go to my house. I'm not worthy for you to come out in my roof. But I'm a man under authority even as you are. Did you know Jesus was under authority?
Amen.
He was under the authority of the Father. He showed us how to do it. He said he said nothing without the Father telling him, and he did nothing without the Father showing him. I'm trying to get to that place where I say nothing except what Jesus says. I found out how to never be wrong. Keep my mouth shut and read the Bible. And if I say, thus saith the Lord, let it be the word.
Amen.
Then I'm never wrong. If I start giving you my opinions, now we can get in some trouble. Amen? But that's why God's given you the Bible. He's given you the Bible to check me out. And if you find me wrong in something, you come and say, hey, Richard, you know, there's something wrong here. What do you think of this? And we sit down, we'll pray about it, and ask the Father. And then I'll show you where you're wrong. If you love God, say praise God.
Praise God.
Come up here for a minute. I've been picking on you a little bit. But this is Paul Muller, folks. Everybody say hi to Paul Muller.
Hi, Paul Muller.
I met Paul 3 years ago. 4 years ago.
4 years ago.
4 years ago. He wasn't wrapped too tight. He ain't much wrapped too tight now. I had arthritis all through his body. He was a mess. God healed you, didn't he? But God has been teaching him things, and Paul finally came to the point where he decided he wanted more. So I invited him on this revival. And I told him, I said, if you come up here, you're not going to be the same when you go back. And you worried about that, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
What did you say to some? I overheard you talk to somebody the other day. What did you say to him?
I said, I can take it away from you. I understand. I said that I had reservations about not controlling my environment and my space and not having the freedom to come and go and do the things that I would normally do when I wanted to. And that... You know, as I was saying that, I knew that was the dumbest reason that there ever was. And I was scared of when I got back, what was it I was going to be doing that I didn't particularly want to be doing that was replacing what I was doing now that I liked.
Can anybody relate? Has anybody ever been through that? I don't think anybody that's ever seriously wanted to think about doing God's work didn't worry about what am I going to have to give up? What am I going to have to change? Right? Ricky Baldwin, when he first came to the Lord, you were a scumbag. I mean, literally, this kid was a scumbag. He did drugs, booze, and anything with skirts. Am I right?
Yep.
But God is wise, and he knew how to catch Ricky Baldwin. He cheats.
Big time.
Do you know God cheats? And the Lord told me to tell him something. And this is what I told him. I said, Ricky, if you accept Jesus Christ, you can stay the way you are.
Woohoo!
Now, didn't God give us a free will?
Amen.
You think that when you accept Christ, he takes away your free will? No. So I didn't lie. I said, Ricky, you can accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and do and not change a single thing. Didn't I?
Yeah.
And he said, well, what am I waiting for? Let's go. So he prayed, and I prayed, and God knocked his backside on the floor. Almost took out a wall. And before Ricky knew it, he just didn't want some of that stuff anymore. And he was delivered.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
That's the beautiful thing about Jesus. He's not going to make you do something you don't want to do. But he'll show you what reward there is for doing it. So anyway, I've been picking on it. And I did not make it easy on Paul to come up here. Oh, I gave him a hard time. I said, you know, it's a long walk back from Vermont. It's not going to be like around here. If I tell you to do it, I expect it done right now, right the way I said it. And if I get any lip, you can just walk home. I got time to play games. So, yeah, I helped him. But, see, I wanted him to come. If he came after all of that, I knew he wanted it, right? So since he's been here, we've been working and everything. And the other night I told him to come in here. I'll let you tell it.
My attention span, well, the attention span is good, but I don't always focus on what I'm needing to focus on. Things are happening around me while I'm focused on whatever I'm doing right now. And I miss a lot of stuff. And we've been, you know, trying to learn how to walk in the anointing. And he told me to come in here and, you know, focus on the worship leader and focus on him when he started preaching and start bringing out my concentration on what's happening around me. I needed to, you know, to be able to work with people, knowing, you know, seeing their needs before they're telling them to me. Just, you know, from revelation from God. I hear them talking about seeing people's spirits and knowing, already starting to get information from God about what they need. And I would go in places, I don't see anything different. This isn't fair. How am I supposed to do what they're cheating? You know, Lord, make this fair. So he tells me, you know, come in and learn to focus, pay attention, and broaden it out. Well, I came in last night, I got real irritated because I came in here as like a white fog. And as is usually the case, the fetching up's not there. I find out later that, well, I'm seeing the anointing. That is the anointing that was in this tent. That was, everybody else is going, wow! And of course, I didn't know what I was seeing. And, you know, the Lord confirmed the faith that Richard has in Him by His word to me and by showing me the anointing that's in this tent as we're holding the service. And that blew me away. I didn't know when I got saved. You know, I didn't know any number of things that happened to me. The healing, didn't know the scope and breadth of that until months later. I'm still slow on the uptake. And I didn't see. I was irritated. I came up here last night talking about my healing, and I couldn't see any of you. I really couldn't see any of you. Now, I know the anointing's here tonight, and if I couldn't still see it, which I can, I know it's here because I can sense it now. I can sense it. And that is a confirmation of building a faith that's now here. It's permanent because He has sealed it. And I'm still blown away. And I can't wait to see what He's got for me.
Amen.
You know, it was so funny. He was sitting back there and he was telling me how agitated he was. I said, well, what was agitating? He said, I couldn't see. I said, well, why not? And he didn't want to tell me. Like, he didn't want to tell me. Finally, he came out with it. He said, well, it was like a fog, a bright fog, and it filled the tent. And I was jealous. I didn't get to see it. Now I know it's here. I know it's here every time this tent is up because God told me it would. Do you know what? I know for a fact that this tent is full. There's not an empty seat in this tent. Because Jesus Christ told me last year when I took this tent to Alabama, He said, from now on, you'll never have an empty tent. Every seat will be filled. Now He said it. I believe it. We got angels sitting in this tent, holding seats for people that God has ordained to come into this tent. And when they get here, they'll get up and leave and let the people in.
Amen.
Now somebody might say, that's the craziest thing I ever heard of. So be it. I know it's true because God said it. How's your back, sir? It hurts? Stand up. I understand. Does it ever give you a problem? It never does, but just in the chairs. Well, Lord, take the pain away today and let Him enjoy the chair.
Amen.
Praise God. Anybody here got a bad back? I mean, really has a bad back? Okay, it's just me then. Heal me, Lord. All right. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a cheer tonight.
Hallelujah. Glory unto you, Jesus.
Praise you.
You're worthy, O Lord. Hallelujah.
All right. Let me get back to this Joshua thing a minute. Now, the children of Israel went across the river Jordan. When they crossed the river Jordan, that was real symbolic of something. How many remember old Nicodemus? Remember Nicodemus came to Jesus by night saying, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man doeth the works thou doest, save God be with him. Now, I was taught and I learned that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night because he was afraid of the Jews. That's not what happened. He wasn't afraid of the Jews. How do I know that? Because I paid attention to what he said. If he had said, I know, then I might say, okay, he's afraid of the Jews. But he didn't say that. It said Nicodemus, a ruler of the synagogue, came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, we know. Who's the we?
And then the others.
He and the other leaders. They knew Jesus was the Messiah. He knew it. He was coming to Jesus by night to make a deal with Him. We will set you up. We will make you the King of Kings. We will obey you if you will do what we want. Jesus knew what He was up to. Nicodemus said, Rabbi, we know Thou art a teacher come from God, for no man doeth the works that Thou doest, save God be with him. And Jesus said a most remarkable thing. He said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. And everybody runs around and says, Oh, you got to be born again to go to heaven. And that's not what Jesus was talking about. He was not talking about going to heaven. He was talking about understanding. See what I mean? Nicodemus didn't ask him a question. He made a statement. And in this statement, he claimed to have knowledge of the kingdom of God. Jesus basically said, Nicodemus, you don't know what you're talking about. Because unless you're born again, you can't understand or see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus then proved Jesus right by saying, Well, how can this be? I'm an old man. Must I re-enter my mother's womb and be born a second time? He didn't have a clue. Jesus then said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot, what? Enter into the kingdom of God. Now we got three things here. Water, Spirit, and the one up here, which he didn't say what that was, did he? But that's three, am I right?
Amen.
All right. John, 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. There are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. Amen?
Amen.
There's one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. God is one God. His name is Jesus. Yet He is three. He is perfect man, perfect God, perfect three. You look at me, how many of me are there? You see one. But there are three. Isn't that a scary thought? There are three of me running around? There is Richard the body, which you can see, Richard the soul, which you can hear, and Richard the spirit, which is my life. The three of us together make one Richard. And every one of you are three. God said, let us create man in our image after our likeness. God is three, you are three. God gave you a physical body so that you could operate in this three-dimensional world. But He gave you a spirit to operate in His world.
Amen.
And because of the sin of Adam, your spirit was cut off from God. And in order to understand God's kingdom, you have to be plugged back in. And the only lawful way to be plugged back in is through Jesus Christ. Spiritualists try it through demons. They don't even realize it. But true believers in Jesus Christ know that the only way to be plugged into God's kingdom is through Jesus. All right, now watch this. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, Egypt being a type and shadow of
the world,
Pharaoh being a type and shadow of
Satan.
Moses being a type and shadow of Jesus. Now, there's going to be a lot of stuff in this, and I hope you all can stick with it, because if you can't, there'll be tapes available later. Am I right?
Yes.
Not tonight, but later on. All right. If Moses was a type and shadow of Jesus, Pharaoh was a type and shadow of Satan, Egypt was a type and shadow of the world, then what was the Passover? Passover was the crucifixion. It was the lamb sacrificed for the sins. And it was put on the doorposts and lintels. And whoever put the blood on the doorposts and lintels, the spirit of death or the angel of death would pass over. That's why they got the word Passover. That was baptism of blood. You cannot understand the things of the kingdom of God until you first receive the baptism of blood. You can get dunked in a pot of water all you want. I can take you down here in the river, put you in the water, and just dunk you up and down. You are not going to understand the kingdom of God. You're not going to understand this word. It isn't going to help you. Now, you might be able to see the kingdom of God if I dunk you in the water and count to 100 by halves. But that's going to be too late. That'll just be too late. So I just assume not do that. I've known preachers out here, and I know a lot of preachers. I travel all over this country, and I meet a lot of ministers. They don't have a clue. They don't have a clue who God is. They don't have a clue about God's will. They've been taught lies. They just don't know. And you can't explain it to them. And then when you sit down and talk about it, you find out if you spend enough time with them, you come down to understand their problem. They never got the blood.
Amen.
They became ministers because they wanted to serve mankind or wanted to do good works. Did you know that you're called to be a minister? You're called to be a minister. You're called to be a minister. She's called. Did you know that there is not a single person in Jesus Christ that's not called to be a minister?
Amen.
Jesus said in His Word, go out teaching all nations to observe whatsoever things I've commanded you. If you're going to teach somebody, then that somebody is called a student. Amen? Students learn. But hopefully they graduate someday. I know people that go to college and go to college and go to college and go to college and absolutely never do anything. They never accomplish anything. They never get anywhere because they're professional students. Technically, that's what most people in the church. I'm going to tell you something. If you've been a Christian, and if I try to step at least on somebody's toes every now and then. If you've been a Christian more than 3 years and you're not preaching the word, shame on you. Shame on you. You don't have to be a professor or a cemetery graduate. Cemetery? Seminary. Cemetery. Same thing. Graduate to preach the Word of God. All you got to do is know Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's all you got to do. Young man one time, man, he embarrassed me. Young man accepted Jesus Christ out on the street ministry. And the people that were ministering, they told me about it. And it just embarrassed me. I was so ashamed of myself. They gave him the gospel. The man accepted Jesus Christ. They gave him a Bible and said, now go give this word to everybody you bring to the Lord, that you meet to bring to the Lord. And he said, praise God, and he went out. And they came back later. They saw him about 6 months later. He said, you got another Bible? They said, what do you need another Bible for? We gave you one. Well, I just did what you said. I preached to these people. They accepted the Lord. I gave them a page out of the Bible. I'm out of pages. In 6 months, that young man had brought more people to Jesus Christ than I did at that time in my whole ministry. And found out he didn't know how to read. He didn't know how to read. But you see, he loved Jesus. He got the blood of Jesus on him, and he understood what it meant to follow Jesus, and he went out and told people about Jesus and what Jesus had done for him, and he wasn't afraid to invite them to accept.
Amen. Amen.
But you know what our problem is? Oh, we're not good enough. We don't know enough. They might reject me. Well, let me set you straight. Number one, you're not good enough.
Amen.
Number two, you don't know enough. And number three, so what if they reject you? So what? They rejected Jesus first.
Amen.
And so did you.
Amen.
All you got to do, I said this the other night, I'm going to say it again. The thing you fear is your God. Now, that may go hard with some people. But I'm telling you the truth. Whatsoever you fear, that is your God. So if you fear the government, then the government is your God. If you fear the IRS, then the IRS is your God. If you fear your neighbor for what he might think about you, they are your gods. And there's only one God we're to fear. And that's the maker of heaven and earth.
Amen.
That's the maker of heaven and earth. God came to me one day back in 95 or 96. I was feeling particularly good about myself at the time. I was studying and I was reading and I was praying and I was feeling real good. And he spoke very softly, very quietly. And he said the most amazing thing. He said, "Richard, you're an idolater." Now, I came out of the Catholic Church, so I knew he was mistaken. Couldn't be right. Did you ever try to argue with God? I said, "Lord, what are you talking about? I came out of the Catholic Church. I gave up idolatry. I don't worship idols. I'm not an idolater." Silence. But I felt him draw back. And I fussed and I complained and I argued and I finally came down and I said, "Okay, God, so I'm an idolater. Please show me how and why." And then he said, "That which you fear is your God." And every time I opened the Bible after that, I began to see scriptures that supported it. Perfect love casts out fear. The beginning of wisdom is fear of the Lord. And everywhere I went, it showed me that the only thing I am to fear is God.
Amen.
Jesus said, "Fear not him who can what? Destroy the body and that's it. But fear him who hath power to destroy the body and cast your soul in hell." So here I was fearing government. Do you know pastors today fear the government? That's why they incorporate their churches. And they become corporate churches, government churches. And if the government says, "You have to do this, and you have to do that, and you're not allowed to do this, and you're not allowed," they say, "Okay, okay." And they don't even read the part where Jesus said, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." The leaven of Pharisees is the untruths, the poison, the rottenness, the hypocrisy of the preachers. And the leaven of Herod is the same lies and hypocrisies of government. And then you go back and look what he says. Obey them, just don't do what they do. We're to obey the religious leaders. We're just not to do what they do. Our righteousness is supposed to be greater. Now, does that mean you're supposed to obey every religious leader in the world? Absolutely not. If you're a member of the Fisherman Ministries, then you obey the ministers in the Fisherman Ministries. If you're a member of the United Christian Church down here, or whatever the name of the churches are, then you obey the leadership there. And if they don't do right, sick God on them. He works. My wife got on me a couple times. I was glad when he was finished. She didn't like some stuff I was doing, so she sicked God on me. As long as she was trying to get me to change, God didn't do a thing. But when she stopped rebelling and started obeying, then God moved. My mother, I love her. She's probably going to hate me when she hears this. I love my mother. I love her. The Lord had me bring her to the Lord. The Lord had me pray for her to receive the Holy Spirit. But my mother was a... strong-willed woman. Boy, I didn't know how I was going to bring that out. And she drove her husband crazy.
I don't see doing what's right. You are rebellious against God. You're rebelling against God.
I said to her one day, Mother, how's he rebelling against God?
Because he doesn't do what I tell him to do.
I said, oh, excuse me, God. And then she proceeded to call me all kinds of names, talking about how when I was born, my dad and her were not married. And said it was of the Lord. Think she'll get mad at this? I'm going to give her a copy. Because I love her. And it got worse and worse and worse. And finally I told her, I said, Mother, you know, I'm going to tell you something. God loves you. And God loves my stepfather. And God cannot change him until you change. Because if God changed him, then he would be obeying you, not God. That was hard. And I said, if you keep it up, he's going to leave. And he's going to find another woman, and it's going to be your fault. And she didn't like to hear that. And eventually, that's exactly what happened. And she called me back, and I said, well, praise the Lord, I told you. And what are you going to do about it? I said, now you're alone. Who are you going to complain for your problems now? And she had to get it right. She had to get it right. But you know what ended up happening? I'll tell you. God loves her so much that when she began to fall back into this stuff again, she came out of it and God delivered Bud, brought him back into the house. They were serving God together. It was a beautiful thing. Beautiful thing. But she started falling back into those ways and the root of bitterness. And I prayed, Lord, do whatever it takes to get her out of this before she dies. Because a root of bitterness will kill you and send you to hell. God cannot forgive you if you can't forgive others. And over the last year or so, Mother's been hit with shingles inside. Not outside. And God has shown me it's a spiritual battle going on to show her the bitterness that's in her. It's manifesting as shingles. And if she will confess it and forgive those that have hurt her and forgive Bud and accept God as her God and let God be his God, Bud's God as well, he'll deliver her of those shingles. And she gets mad at me when she hears this. There's nothing I can do about it. I still love her. Amen. But you see, I said earlier about Joshua. God said, Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. That's what he meant. Sometimes you've got to tell people the things they don't want to hear. And then you're going to hear a response like, oh, but you don't love me. If you love me, you wouldn't talk that way. He has no clue what I'm talking about, I know. The truth of the matter is, God does love us, and I love you, and because I love you, and because I love God more than I love you, I'm going to tell you the truth. Because when I go back to that camper tonight, it's me and God. It's me and God. How did I get on this anyway? Isn't that amazing? Thank you. Give the Lord a cheer.
Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Glory. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right. Thank you, Lord. He showed me how I got there and where I need to go next. Talk about the baptism of blood. You cannot see or understand the kingdom of God. And that's why so many people have not really understood God's kingdom, because they haven't really knelt down and received Him. You know, my mother, when she was younger, she told me, she said she was a Christian. After I accepted Christ, Christ appeared to me and called me to His ministry. She said to me, she said, I'm a Christian. I said, oh, really? She said, yes, I was born in America. It's the truth. She thought if she was born in a Christian country, that made her a Christian. She didn't have a clue. And I would try to talk to her, and she would get angry and mad and all this. And then she would literally cuss me out. And I would leave. And then I'd come back, and this is going, and she'd call me names and fanatic and everything. It really hurt my feelings. And one day I went and looked up in the dictionary, fanatic. Anybody ever looked that word up? You know what a fanatic is? Webster's Unabridged Dictionary had about 9 different definitions, and of course I'm going to choose the one I like. You choose the one you like, I'll choose the one I like. The one I liked was down around number 5 or 6, and it said a fanatic is a person who is what? Believes more than the person calling them a fanatic. I said, wow, I like that. I can't wait to try that on my mother. So I went back up to her house the next day and started preaching to her, and she got mad, called me a fanatic. I said, thanks, Mom. She said, boy, you're really gone crazy. I said, yeah, Mom, but, you know, you just said I believe in Jesus more than you do. But you see, she started reading her Bible. And one day, God was gracious to her and opened her understanding a little bit. And she began to understand. And she accepted Christ. And then He opened the rest up.
Amen.
Did you know one of the things that's easy to be about a preacher, and it's a key, if you will understand it, it is an important key, it's not up to the preacher to make anybody understand anything. In fact, it is impossible for me to make you understand anything unless God opens your heart. The disciples came to Jesus and asked Him, Lord, why do you teach in parables? Anybody remember that? What was His answer? Lest at any time they should hear with their ears. And what was it? Perceive or and understand. And He went on to say, it is not given unto them to understand, but it is given unto you to understand. Understanding is a gift from God. And He held back the understanding from the world until He was resurrected. Only the 11 had understanding. Only the 11. Because He didn't give it to anybody else.
Amen.
If you think that's not right, go read John chapter 17. And look, when you get down to that part where Jesus said, Father, I pray not for the world, but I pray for them whom thou hast given me, for they are thine. And thou hast given them me. And he didn't open up his prayer for the world until later when he said, I pray also for those that believe on me through the word of their testimony. What did God just do?